I'd like to ask everyone, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. I'd like to read from Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I would like to begin reading with the 18th verse and read through verse 21. Ephesians chapter 5, and I encourage you to please look in your Bibles as we try to read and study tonight. Please pray that God will help us to hear and understand the Word of God. We're reading now from Ephesians chapter 5. We'll begin with verse 18 and read through verse 21. But before we begin to endeavor to study, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in another moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the privilege that we have to come together in Thy house to try to worship the one true and living God. Lord, we're thankful that we know how, to some degree, we know that how great Thou art. And yet we don't know anything yet, like one day we're going to know when we get to that eternal heaven. We pray that as we've come together this night, that Thou would help us, that we might rejoice in the Lord. We're thankful for the singing of songs of praise that have already gone before Thy throne of grace. We thank You, Lord, for the truth and the words that we have sung. And we thank You for the voices and the melody and the harmony. We thank You for the joy that fills our soul when we hear the saints of God sing the songs of Zion. And we thank You now for the privilege that we have to try to read and study Thy holy word. And we pray that Thy Spirit would be our teacher, that Thou would fill us all with the Spirit of God, that we might hear the word of God, we might understand it, that we might believe it and obey it. We pray that Thy word would be as seed sown in fertile ground. May it bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. Bless us now as we try to study. And we beg Thy blessings upon all those with special burdens and problems, those who are having personal problems. We beg You, Lord, to help them and bless them. Pray that You would bless those that are having family trouble and other kinds of problems. You know the needs of each person that's here tonight. And we ask You to bless each individual and each family, as Thou alone art able to do. We pray that Thou would bless all those who are sick and afflicted. We know that Thou art the great physician, that Thou hast all power. You're able to touch and heal and lift up. And we ask You, in the name of Jesus Christ, that You would bless those who are sick and afflicted, that You would bless them and bless their families and give them the strength and grace that they need as they try to take care of their loved ones. Bless us now, not only in this worship service, but bless us in the baptismal service to follow. We thank You again for the great privilege that we have to be a part of Thy church and Thy kingdom in the earth. Help us to always try to live closer to Thee and closer to each other. We beg in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to read now from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 18 and reading through verse 21. The Word of God says in Ephesians 5, verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And that's the main thought that's on my heart tonight, is that all of us need to pray that God will help us to be filled with the Spirit. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, there's no room for anything else in your heart, mind, and soul. If I'm full of God, the devil doesn't have room in my heart and mind and soul. So I need to be filled, not partially filled, but completely filled with the Spirit of God. So he says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he tells us, I want you to notice that at the end of verse 18, there's not a period. The Word of God says, but be filled with the Spirit, and then He tells us three ways. Really, I think that these are three steps that will enable us to be filled with the Spirit. He says in verse 19, here's the first step toward being filled with the Spirit. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, what's the first thing that God tells you to do? To sing. Singing singing, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then he says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Brethren, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, first thing you need to do is sing. Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, I want you to notice there that we're singing not to someone, not to some person out there. I enjoy hearing people sing, but when people sing, and I believe this congregation tonight, I believe you've been singing to the Lord. That's the intent and purpose of singing. If it's true godly worship, we're singing to the Lord. And when we're singing to the Lord, we're going to be filled with something. What are we full of? We're filled with the Spirit of God. So he says, be filled with the Spirit. How? First thing he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The second thing he says in verse 20, he says, giving thanks. Did you know one of the most important things that we need to feel in our hearts and minds and souls is we need to feel thanksgiving to God for His goodness to us. God has been good to me, and God has been good to you. And one of the signs of the end of a nation or the end of a church is when they are unthankful. The Word of God describes the signs of the end of the times, and He says that people would be unthankful. And I believe with all of my heart that's a problem we all have, is that we're not near as thankful as we ought to be. And when I am not thankful, I'm not full of something. In order to be filled with the Spirit, I don't not only have to sing, but I have to be thankful, giving thanks. Notice again verse 20. Verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God. Why give thanks to God? Well, because God is the giver of every perfect gift. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. Well, what if Brother David gives me $100? What do I need to do? Well, I need to thank him, but I need to go right to God, because he would not have given me anything had it not been for God moving in his heart. So the ultimate thanks, the primary thanks, should go to God. For everything you have, every gift, every blessing you have, your children, your family, and all the other natural blessings that you have, the food, clothing, and shelter, and all of your blessings, give thanks to the Lord. Now, what will that encourage you to do? What will that help you be full of? It'll help you be filled with the Spirit. See, you just think about this as the main heading is to be filled with the Spirit. What's the first thing he says under that? What's the first thing? Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing is the first step toward being filled with the Spirit. What's the second step toward being filled with the Spirit? Giving thanks. Do you see that in verse 20? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the third thing is in verse 21. He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Oh, we have so much problem with pride, don't we? We want to be Mr. Big and Mr. I. Well, listen, brethren, you cannot be filled with the Spirit if you're not going to submit yourselves one to another. We have to humble ourselves. Jesus taught us that any man that begins to exalt himself, God will bring him down. But any man that will humble himself, God will lift him up. He that humbleth himself in the sight of the Lord. Brethren, we need to humble ourselves. Why? Well, first of all, God commands that we humble ourselves. Secondly, if I want to be filled with the Spirit, God says I have to submit one to another. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Now, I need to submit to God, but I need to submit to you also. Submit one to another. In this verse, verse 21, is not talking about me submitting to God, other than God is the one who tells me to submit to you. Therefore, when I submit to you, I am also submitting myself to God. Every one of us ought to be willing to kneel down and wash the feet of anybody. Did you know that? If you ever have the idea that you're too good to kneel down and wash somebody's feet, you need to repent. You need to get down on your knees. You need to cry unto the Lord and beg the Lord to help you to repent. Because we need to be willing to submit ourselves one to another. Now, I can't cover all of these things, and that's not the burden of my heart tonight, but about 2 o'clock this morning, the Lord began to really give me a clear burden on my heart about what I should try to preach tonight, and it's about the first thing that the Word of God says, the first step toward being filled with the Spirit is what? He says, be filled with the Spirit in verse 18. What's the first thing? Singing. Now, that's the main thought on my heart tonight, is that we need to think about the importance of singing and what God's Word says about singing. The first thing He says in this verse is that I need to be singing, speaking to myself in songs, don't I? You know? You remember old people? I watch the old movies. Do you ever watch the old movies? If you don't watch old movies, do you remember your grandparents or great-grandparents? Do you remember what they did? I remember my grandmother, every time that she was at the kitchen sink, every time she was in the kitchen cooking, she was in there and she was singing. And she wasn't singing to me, and she wasn't singing to somebody else. She was speaking to herself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And she was filled with the Spirit of God. That's the important thing. The first thing we need to do when we talk about singing is I need to speak to myself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I need to have a song on my heart. I need to be singing every day, not just in God's house, but everywhere I go, I need to be speaking to myself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in my heart to the Lord. Did you know I can sing without even opening my mouth? Did you know that? I can be going about my daily activity. Now, I know I can sing out loud, but I can sing in my heart. And that's the first thing I want you to remember, is we need to have a song in our hearts. And if I have a song in my heart, and if I'm giving thanks always, and if I'm submitting myself one to another, you know what I'm going to be full of? I'm going to be filled with the Spirit of God. You want to be happy, you've got to be filled with the Spirit of God. If you're full of the Spirit of God, you're also full of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You're going to be a happy soul if you're full of the Spirit. The Word of God says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And we as God's children, we need to be in the kingdom of God. And if we're in the kingdom of heaven, if we're walking in fellowship with God, we're going to be filled with the Spirit. And if we're filled with the Spirit, we're going to be singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Now, singing not only is private singing, that's just me and God, but singing also is singing in the presence of other people. In Hebrews chapter 2:14, the Word of God tells us that we're to sing in the church. Some people think that the church should only be for preaching. Let me tell you, God's Word contradicts that. God's Word, the primary purpose of us coming to the house of God is to worship God. Worship God. I'm not here to entertain you, and if I'm here to entertain you, I ought to be removed from being pastor of the church. My intention, my desire, my goal, my objective is to feed the church of God, to feed the flock of God, feed them with the Word of God. That's the only thing that'll ever do you any good. I'm not interested in telling you stories or things to entertain you. I want to feed your soul with the Word of God. But a part of the worship service is also what? Besides preaching, part of it is what? Singing. Sing in the church. Turn in your Bibles, go forward about 5 or 6 pages past Ephesians. You'll come to the book of Colossians. Please look in your Bibles at Colossians chapter 3. And I want you to contrast the difference in what the Word of God says in Ephesians 5 verse 19. In Ephesians 5:19, He says, speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Come to Colossians chapter 3 and look at verse 16. Look in your Bibles, please, at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. The Word of God tells you something different about singing. What I want us to do is learn more about what we can do as far as singing is concerned that will help us to be filled with what? To be filled with the Spirit of God. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 says, let the Word of Christ... What is the Word of Christ? That's just those words in red in the Bible? No. No, the Word of Christ is the Word of God. Genesis through Revelation, the Word of God. And He says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you. You know, the only way the Word of Christ is going to dwell in you, you don't just buy a Bible and the Word of God dwell in you. The way you have the Word of God dwelling in you, and I'm talking about the written Word, and I know there's the living Word, but the written Word will dwell in me when I am reading and studying and memorizing and learning the Word of God. David learned the Word of God. Solomon learned the Word of God. You know, whenever a person is beginning to go into surgery, do you have any, those of you who have ever been in surgery, did you have any scriptures that came to your mind when you were going into surgery? Anybody here have any scriptures that ever come to your mind when you're facing troubles or problems? Okay, 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. You remember that, Sister Ruth, tomorrow. Remember, you need it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, brethren, when I've gone into surgery and when I face troubles and problems, there are various passages of Scripture that I've memorized and I've learned, and they have great meaning to me. And the Word of God should dwell in us richly. I ought to be full of the Word of God. If I'm full of the Word of God, I'm going to be full of the Spirit of God. Why? Because it's the Spirit that inspired men to write these words. The Holy Spirit moved in men of God. And so the Word of God, the written Word of God, was inspired by the Holy Spirit. God breathed into men and they penned these words. This is not the writings of men, it's the Word of God. So he says in Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now listen carefully, here's what we came after. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What's the difference in Ephesians 5, verse 19, and Colossians 3:16? What were we to do with the songs, the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, according to Ephesians 5:19, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now you see, that's your private devotional. But then the Word of God says, now let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then He says, teaching and admonishing one another, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know what we were doing? You know what we were doing when we were singing these songs? We were teaching and admonishing one another. You go home and read these words. You memorize these words. There are great words of truth there. We need to learn what these songs are saying. If they're songs of truth, then these are songs of truth. You understand? There's some false songs out there. There are songs that do not harmonize with God's Word. But what I'm talking about is songs that do harmonize with God's Word. Teach and admonish one another. That song, Amazing Grace, that we sang. Is there a whole lesson of teaching in that? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You go all the way through that psalm and you'll find that it was grace that saved him and it was grace that led him step by step in his life. He was teaching and admonishing one another. That man, I believe it was John Newton that penned those words. When he wrote those words, it was the Spirit of God that blessed him to write that psalm. And he taught people truth about the grace of God in that psalm. And when the people of God come together and they begin to sing the songs of Zion and sing words of truth, you know what they're doing? They're teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So what's the first step of being filled with the Spirit? Well, I need to sing and make melody in my heart, don't I? Just sing to the Lord in my heart. But I also need to sing out loud. I need to sing out loud. Because that's teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We need to be just as careful about what we sing as what we preach. It's just as serious to sing false doctrine as it is to preach false doctrine. And I pray that God will help us always to be careful about the words that we sing. You better pay attention to the words you sing, because if you're not careful, you'll just get to singing along and not paying attention, and you'll sing something you don't even believe. And that's contrary to God's Word. See, what God's Word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15, God's Word says that when we pray, we're to pray with the Spirit and with understanding. We're talking about being filled with the Spirit. Now, when we pray, should we pray with the Spirit and pray with understanding? Do I need to understand what I pray? Do you need to understand what I pray? When I pray, I should pray with the Spirit and pray with understanding. And then the next part of that verse says, and when I sing with the Spirit and sing with understanding. I need to be filled with the Spirit of God in order to sing. But when I sing, I'm also filled with the Spirit of God. Do you see the cycle there? That when I pray and I beg God to help me to sing to the honor and glory of God, and I'm filled with the Spirit and I'm singing, I'm filled with the Spirit while I'm singing. I'm filled with the Spirit before I sing, and I'm singing in the Spirit. That's what worships God. Jesus said, they that worship me must worship me in what? In spirit and in truth. You're not full of the Spirit, you can't worship God. If you're not singing in the Spirit, you're not worshiping God. If I didn't know this group, I would have been very careful about allowing them to sing. I want you all to know that. We've probably had over 10 specials in the past 25 years. There have been a lot of people who have come to me and wanted to sing. And I wouldn't let them sing. Now that may sound harsh, may sound hard, may sound cruel. But brethren, unless I'm convinced that somebody that's singing is singing in the Spirit and singing to the glory of God, they're not going to sing in this church as long as I'm pastor. But when I know of people and I know that they're humble, and I know they give thanks to the Lord, and I know they love God, and they want to serve God, and they want to worship God, and they come in an humble way, and they are going to sing truth. That's just as important as everything else, but they've got to sing truth. Then I love for us to just sing together. You know what it does for me when I hear good singing? You know what it fills me up with? The Spirit of God. You know, when you go to the house of God and you've got a good singing service, anybody that can't preach after a good singing service like we had, they just better hang it up. Something's wrong. Something bad wrong. I think I could preach all night right now and just enjoy every minute of it, because I feel the presence of the Spirit of God. And that's what God's people need in the church. You know what will revive the church? It's not some program or device or scheme of men. The only thing that will revive the church is the Spirit of God. And that's what we need, is the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit of God. We don't need to be afraid to talk about the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. The church needs to be filled with the Spirit of God. And the church will be filled with the Spirit when each individual begins to be filled with the Spirit, because the church is not the building. The church is the people. And when the people are filled with the Spirit, the church is filled with the Spirit. And when you go somewhere and the people, the church, is full of the Spirit, you're going to leave saying, oh, it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. It does us good to be in the house of the Lord, where you can feel the presence of the Spirit of God. It's kind of like when Peter, James, and John went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and they saw Moses and Elijah and Jesus. And Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Every time I go somewhere and I feel the presence of the Spirit of God, it doesn't have to be in a church building. I've told you I've been studying a lot with Brother Bud and Sister Ruth, and I feel the Spirit every time I've been in their home, full of the Spirit of God. I'll tell you, you've got to have humble folks if the Spirit's going to dwell there. You've got to be trying to follow the teachings of God's Word for the Spirit to dwell there. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll come dwell with you. Follow that? I want Jesus to dwell with me. In order for Him to dwell with me, I've got to walk in His teachings and commandments. I've got to walk in the light as He's in the light, because when I get away from God, He's not going to go with me. He's not going to dwell with me when I get away from God. But when I walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on my way. While I do His good will, He abides with me still, when I trust and obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's being filled with the Spirit of God. What's the first step to being filled with the Spirit of God? Singing. And when we sing, are we to sing to ourselves or sing to others? Both. Sing to ourselves and sing to others, teaching and admonishing one another. And then the Word of God says that when we sing, we're to sing with the Spirit and we're to sing with understanding. Let me just mention one or two more things. Let me mention, first of all, this. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the Word of God tells us about the army of God going against a much bigger army. And when they went out in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there's an amazing thing that God told to go on right there. God told the singers to get out there in the front of that army. I'm just getting chill bumps all over me thinking about the power that comes from singing. That's what I want you to remember. See, when you're full of the Spirit, you're full of power. How do you know that? Well, because God's Word says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And when I'm filled with the Spirit of God, I'm going to be full of power, boldness, not in myself strength, but in the power of God. And so it is that that army, when they were going out against that enemy, they needed the power of God. And so God instructed them and told them exactly what they could do to get the power of God to enable them and strengthen them to face the enemy. And what did He tell them to do? He said, you go and you put the singers out there in front. I'm glad they were some spirit-filled singers. I'd have told the army, you get out there in front, we'll stand behind you and sing. You know, that's the way a lot of people will do. They'll tell you, you get out there in the front, I'll be behind you all the way. Have any of you ever had people tell you that? You get out there and you do what's right, I'll be behind you. I've heard it all my life. You turn around and look, they're gone. We need to work together, stand together. We're part of the army of God, and the army of God needs the singers. Because the singers strengthen the rest of the army of God. It gives us boldness and power. And you go home and read 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you'll find that when those people began to sing, and they sang in the Spirit, and they sang with understanding, when they began to sing, the Word of God says the Lord just brought confusion and destroyed that other army. What did the army ever do? I'm talking about what did the Israelite army do? They didn't do a thing. They didn't use their sword. They didn't use any arrows. They didn't use any spears. It was the power of God that brought the enemy to its knees. But what was it that moved and motivated the power of God? It's because the people of God were obeying God and the singers were singing. Go with me in closing to one other verse of Scripture. Please look in your Bibles at Psalm 100. Please turn in your Bibles to the 100th Psalm. And I encourage you, this is another psalm you need to memorize, like the 23rd Psalm. Singing is a sign of something. What's singing a sign of? Tell me something singing is a sign of. It's a three-letter word. Well, that's good, Brother David. We must have read the same books. It's the Word of God that we've been reading, okay? Singing is a sign of joy. If you were to go home and read and study the Word of God, you'll find that there are times that the people of God stop singing when they have no more joy. They hang up their harps in the willows and they just cease everything because if they don't feel the presence of the Spirit of God, it's time to hang it up. But the people of God need power and boldness. And when we're full of joy, when we're full of the Spirit of God, we want to sing. He says in Psalm 100, he says, make a... And listen, brethren, I love this beautiful singing. I'm talking about all the right notes and harmony and all of that. That's beautiful. Not picking on you at all. But I'll tell you, a brother that can get up and sing in the Spirit, he may not ever hit a right note. And I know all of you agree with this. Hitting the right note is not the main thing. The main thing is to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I think the worst singer I've ever heard in my life was my daddy. He couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. He could not sing. But I'll tell you, he made a joyful noise unto the Lord. He was full of the Spirit of God. He was full of joy. He was full of the righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And God was pleased with his singing. Did you know God was just as pleased with his singing as he is of y'all singing? Isn't that amazing? The Lord's The Lord looks at the heart. Now, I like to hear, you know, when I would hear my daddy sing, I just kind of almost get, well, as a teenager, I just kind of get kind of crouched down in the pew and think, oh, I'm so ashamed, so ashamed. You know, that was my pride, you know. I'll tell you, the Lord was pleased with his singing. And when I got grown, I began to have a little more understanding. I rejoiced in his singing because he was singing in the Spirit, singing with understanding. He was full of the Spirit of God. He was full of joy. The Word of God says, make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You might not can sing pretty, but you can make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with what? Come before His presence with singing. Why? Why, when we enter into the house of God, why, when we come into His presence, whether you think about coming into His presence as going to God in prayer, you know, I can pray. I can begin praying, going before His presence in prayer. When I approach the throne of grace, I can approach the throne of grace in singing. That's what it says. Come before His presence in singing. When you can't pray, when you feel like your prayers aren't getting out of the room, you try singing to the Lord. Come before His presence with singing. Approach the throne of grace in singing. And come into the house of God with singing. Come before His presence with singing. And then He says in verse 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. If you know that, you'll be full of joy. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Enter into His gates with what? Thanksgiving. Do you notice, and you can go home and study this, but you study this 100th Psalm. Do you remember back over there in Ephesians 5:19, there were three things He said for you to do to be filled with the Spirit. What was the first thing in Ephesians 5:19? What was the first thing? Singing. What was the second thing? Giving thanks. What was the third thing? Submitting yourselves one to another. All three of those are mentioned here in this psalm. You go home and study it and think about it. We need to be filled with the Spirit. Not just on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7 days a week. I need to be filled with the Spirit, and you need to be filled with the Spirit. And God in His wisdom has said, now if you want to be filled with the Spirit, He's commanded you to be filled with the Spirit. You want to be filled with the Spirit, He says, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. All you've got to do is just follow Ephesians 5:19, 20, and 21, and you'll be filled with the Spirit every day. May God help us to do that is my prayer for Christ's sake.